T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We welcome you back to the Kia Studios. John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game on a day after Atlanta United, the morning before the Braves return home. A lot to chop up and get into. Now, 10 days ahead of the National Football League draft. Ten days ahead of the NFL draft. And here we go. Just stand by, because there's going to be big news this week popping all over the place in the NFL. You can bank on that.
Yes, it's going to be big news popping here, too, I think. Are we having a party? Are we going to have a party? I think we're having a party. I don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure that we are having a party. Everybody's looking at me like I'm probably going to get in trouble for that comment. But I think, are we having a draft party? I'm pretty sure we are. I just don't know where.
I know that we're broadcasting from the Falcons draft party on draft day starting at 2 o'clock.
Oh, so we're crashing a draft party.
Yes.
No, we are an invited guest. Well, some of us are, Hugh. I don't want to speak for everybody.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Because I knew we were doing something. I just thought it was our party. So we're invited to the party.
Yeah, we're part of the party.
But, you know, as we like to do, we like to claim the party as our own. So it's not like I'm out of bounds. We were invited, but you know how when you go to, hey, we're having a party. I'm having a party at my boy's house. So I'm having a party at the Benz. It's kind of like me and my friends is having a party, but it's, you know, it's kind of like we don't have to do a whole lot, but we're going to have a party at the Benz.
Yeah, that'll be a fun day. I mean, the draft day is going to be so interesting, and this week you're going to hear more about trades because, look, nobody knows who the hell is going to be the number one pick. I'm not even sure the Cleveland Browns, 10 days, I don't know that I've ever seen, I don't, maybe I have, maybe I'm overstating it, but I can't remember the last time we had a team with the number one pick that had, at least publicly, has no clue, and they may have a clue, they may know who they're picking, but they're not leading anybody on. We have no idea who's going to be the number one pick 10 days ahead of the draft.
They're playing close to the vest. Excuse me. They're playing it close to the vest. They're not letting anybody know because I think that they're really thinking hard and long about this, John. You're talking about the first player that you pick is – potentially the one that's going to turn your franchise around. And that's a lot of expectations to put on a young man, but that's where the Cleveland Browns are. Did not win a game all of last year. Did not win a game. So the guy that they pick, whether it be a quarterback or any other position, he is going to be looked at as the savior of the franchise, as the game changer, if you will. Not the savior, but the game changer. The guy, the first cog in the wheel of something that they've been trying to rebuild for years. They've been trying to rebuild that franchise for years.
And don't kid yourself. All these guys, are you concerned and worried about being the number one pick? Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, all those guys, Josh Rosen, they want to be standing on that stage as the number one pick in the NFL draft.
Of course. That everything that comes along with that, the shoe endorsements, you get a little bit more money, the prestige, the commercials and everything. Yeah, to be the number one overall pick in the draft, that's a huge deal.
Plus in the green room, it's ha! you hug your mama, you hug your daddy, you shake your brother's hand, you turn around and look at the other quarterbacks and go, ha! Got ya! The morning sports news brought to you by Shane Company. Blow your mind, not your budget, with an engagement ring if you're going to get hooked up and married from Shane Company, where I bought the real estate maven her ring. Shanko is your friend in the jewelry business. Speaking of the NFL, the other big news in the NFL this week, another big piece of news is going to be the release of the NFL's weekly schedule. Now, we all know which teams are going to be playing everybody. We just don't know when. And so Wednesday into Thursday sometime, we're going to hear what the NFL's weekly schedule is.
I love that the league will not even give us a date on when they're going to release the schedule.
But they won't.
They will not. But presuming the Eagles play Minnesota in that Thursday night opener, which is what we are thinking, on 929 The Game, our Vision Computer poll, who do you want to see the Falcons play if they happen to open on the road? Is it the Steelers, the Packers, Browns, or Saints? And this is the closest Vision Computer poll I think we've ever had, because it's a tie right now between the Packers and Saints at 26%. 24% have the Steelers and Browns.
Yeah, and this is a virtual four-way tie. I voted for the Browns. Look, again, we're presuming that Philadelphia is going to play the opening night Thursday game, okay? We understand that. And we're presuming that the Falcons will not be the opponent. They could be, but I'd be surprised if they were, but they could be. But let's say we presume that that's not going to be the case. So where would you prefer the road game to be? And it could be at Carolina, it could be at Tampa, it could be at a lot of places. But we picked four here. Steelers and Packers because of their, you know, the status and lofty status that they have. The Browns because of the fact that the NFL threw us such a curveball last year with the game in Chicago. I was not expecting that. And the Saints because, you know, again, another lofty game.
Yeah,
Monday night game.
I'd rather play the Saints probably week 8 and after that. Just because it's like that's when, you know, teams really start to separate themselves, John, and it's always been exciting towards the end of the year to have those games come down to the wire against division opponents. And the last few weeks of the season when you had a game sandwiched in between the New Orleans game, I think that just added for the drama. And that's what made the rivalry even more intense is the way that, you know, you only had a game in between that, and then you went right back at it.
Right back at it. So, yeah, I know, right? And that was pretty cool last year. So where do you want? Now, what do you think they're going to play? But where do you want? I mean, I want them to play at Cleveland just because I want them to catch Cleveland. If
catch them slipping.
Yeah, catch them slipping early, right, exactly. I think it's the best way to put it. As for the other games, if they played on the road against Pittsburgh, Packers, or Saints, I think it would be fair to say, Bo, that that would either be Sunday night or a Monday night game. That is not just going to be a regular 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. That would be a national game. Falcons at Saints, Falcons at Packers, Falcons at Steelers opening week is either a Monday night or Sunday night national game.
Well, the Sunday night national games always seems to be Dallas and New York for the ratings boost they get. So there's a really good possibility it could be a Monday night game. But just so you know, it's normally Dallas and New York for Sunday night.
You don't like
Dallas.
That idea?
No, I don't like Dallas. Not a big Dallas fan.
Yeah, that's the other big news, Dez Bryant this week. You know, what's going to happen with
Dez? I don't think, like, honestly, John, I would be seriously surprised. I mean, teams might inquire about him, but 10 days out from the draft, that's kind of a tough time to get cut. I mean, because you got teams. You have teams that are probably going to focus, like, realistically, focusing on their draft. Mm-hmm. Like they're focusing on their draft. And teams might have called to inquire about him, but honestly, this close to the draft, teams probably won't make a move till after the draft, maybe. Because I would just think that, yeah, he would be a nice piece, but hey, let's see what we get in some of these young guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's what he's up against. But he might get a look, he might get a call, and he might get picked up this week. But man, 10 days before the draft, that might be kind of tough.
The Atlanta United, some of the headlines this morning with John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. The Atlanta United game yesterday was one of the better games. There's been a brief history of Atlanta United, but that was one of the top games we've seen United play in their, 38, 39, 40 games that they played in their history against
Two of the best.
NYCFC, top two teams in the league so far this season, fighting for the top and supremacy in the East. And United was first on the board 29 minutes in.
Martinez has swept off the ball, but Almiron keeps it going. Almiron to the edge of the 18. Left-footed shot. It's loose in the cage. It's goal! A deflection by Johnson, falling right to the feet. And it's 1-0 Atlanta United.
Mike Honey on 92.9 The Game. We'll talk to Mike, by the way, live at 9:20 this morning. Greg Garza opened the scoring. New York City Football Club then evened it on a David Villa goal after he came into the game. And in the second half, Atlanta United reclaimed the lead.
Back it goes to Parkhurst to keep it going, though, trying to connect with Cratch. And running onto it now, Almiron on the left edge of the 18. Almiron sends it into the box, hit it in! A goal by Chris McCann!
And Chris McCann, great header, great service into the box by Miguel Almiron. And Atlanta United couldn't hold the lead. Alexander Ring of New York City banged home a shot from 25 to 30 yards out that was one of the most wicked rocket shots I've seen in Major League Soccer. I mean, go watch it. It's that wicked. And they end up 2-2 tie for Greg Garza, who scored in the game. This was a playoff intensity game.
It's big for us to realize where we are right now, but also know what we have to work on to finish strong and hopefully get far further than we did last season as well.
For the other goal scorer, Chris McCann, next up, a road trip to Los Angeles to face the Galaxy.
All the focus is on Zlatan, obviously, this week, being the big player and how he started off his career in the MLS. You know, he's come in and he's took it by storm, really, with a couple of goals he scored. So we'll work on their strengths and, you know, hopefully nullify the big man up top, and, you know, hopefully we can go away and get our first win on the road.
So Garza and McCann score, not Almiron, not Joseph Martinez, not even Barco, who got into the game with 20 minutes to go or so in the game. So the backline guys step up and score in a 2-2 tie in a game that had all the earmarkings and all the intensity of a playoff game.
Yeah, and it started off a little slow, John. It looked to me like when the match initially started that these two teams were trying to fill each other out. And then once they got going, and, you know, Atlanta United started to do their thing, you know, running up and down the pitch with that speed. And, you know, New York FC was trying to possess the ball because that's the contrasting style of these teams. Atlanta United is more of a speed, fast, get up and down the pitch team, and New York FC was more of a possession type squad, and you saw a lot of that in the first 15 minutes of this match.
So Atlanta United, New York Football Club tie 2-2, and next up again Saturday night late night game that doesn't even begin till 10:30 our time. That's when kickoff is in Los Angeles.
LA,
man,
California.
We're gonna be staying up.
When is that?
10:30 p.m. start.
When?
Saturday night.
Oh, yeah, I'll probably be up anyway. It's a Saturday. It's the weekend. So, yeah, definitely be up for that.
Meantime, the Braves are back home. They face the Philadelphia Phillies tonight. Braves were rained out yesterday because of the weather. Were it that they were rained out Saturday in a nasty, ugly, terrible game that ended up nasty, ugly, and terrible for the Atlanta Braves.
A comeback for the ages for the Chicago Cubs. They score 12 unanswered runs beginning in the sixth inning, nine of them in an agonizing and embarrassing eighth inning, and the Cubs pull away to even up this series at a game apiece.
Yeah, it was Chip Carey on Fox Sports South. So the Braves led 10-2 going to the bottom of the sixth, then they led 10-3 going to the bottom of the seventh, then they led 10-5 going to the bottom of the eighth, and then they batted in the top of the ninth down 14-10. Oh, my God, it was 10-2, and I went, oh, game's over, good, I can go on. And then I just kept seeing these alerts on my phone because I actually turned it off. I'm going, oh, the game's over.
Yeah, 10-2, you would think that you could do something else with the rest of your day, and this would be an easy one to talk about. That's what you thought. And then it started in the sixth, and it carried over into the seventh. And then it came to a head in the eighth. Oh, the eighth.
With one out. You had one out.
Oh, that eighth inning. It
all
just
those
got
runs
ugly.
Scored.
With two outs.
Wait, there was two outs. There was
right.
One out left to go.
Yeah,
is what
two outs
I meant.
In the inning.
There
they
was
scored
one
nine
more
runs.
To go.
On three hits. On three
and then you
walks
had what looked like a little league game
and
the errors that
was
thrown
back. It was Suzuki firing it all over the place. Oh, my God.
It was a stat that the Braves have the most walks in Major League Baseball right now. I think it was like 35.
Mm-hmm. They all came 35. On Saturday.
A lot of them came
yeah,
on
Saturday.
Boy. A lot it's of them bad. Came on Saturday.
It was not good. Brian Snicker even said it was not good. I mean, he's trying to spin it.
No lead safe here in a game like this. I mean, because I say the conditions just progressively got worse, and even with the wind blowing, I mean, it was, you know, and that's tough too. So it was just it was a weird, strange afternoon, that's for sure.
Question is this a one-off that you can just blow away and forget, or is this, you know, indicative of what? Or
I think it is. I think that when you look at the Braves so far this season, for me, it's when they do things right and everything is clicking for them. That's when, you know, it's all good. They're getting a lot of contributions from all over the place, and you know, Ozzie Albies is off to a fiery start this year. It's just John. Didn't play baseball, but I would imagine that it has to be hard. If you get a 10-2 lead, it's hard to come back out there. It has to be in that kind of inclement weather and try to turn it on that late in the game. I would assume that's hard to do, and that's basically what it was, man. Because you know now you get a nice comfortable lead, and okay, in the sixth inning, I think they got two hits in the sixth inning. And you're like, okay, fine, but we still have a comfortable cushion.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, it just goes, it just gets worse and worse. And now you have to come out there and try to get your hitter's cap back on. I think that's kind of hard to do. That has to be tough to do.
That weather was atrocious.
And it got worse.
The wind was blowing. When Dansby Swanson was up to bat in the ninth inning, everyone was wiping rain, trying to even see the ball at that point. The catcher was trying to see where the pitch was coming. I mean, you couldn't see. They should have called that game long before the eighth.
And I know a lot of Braves fans immediately after that game said, Ronald Acuna, Ronald Acuna. Well, here's the latest with Ronald Acuna. He's played all the eight games that the Stripers have played this year. He 33 at-bats. He has 5 hits, 12 strikeouts. He's hitting 152. Maybe we let Ronald Acuna stay down in AAA for just a little bit while. There's no rush to bring him up. Is there Preston Tucker? But offense is not the Braves' issue
right
now.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I don't think that's the issue. And even up until that eighth inning, defensively, they looked pretty good. I would say that. It was just a bad day. I mean, and you know, never want to blame it on the weather. But, man, you could tell as the game went on, and, like, that weather took its toll. It took its toll on everybody. Mm-hmm. It took its toll on everybody. And you know what was his name? Jose Ramirez in the eighth inning. Man.
Man, he couldn't find the plate.
He couldn't do nothing. So, yeah, that was one of those games where you got to chalk that one up to the weather.
It'll be Mike Foltynewicz and Aaron Nola. Aaron Nola was a opening day pitcher in that opening day game that he pitched so well against the Braves. Tonight at SunTrust Park. When we get back after a moment, T-Day and G-Day are looming very latest as we head towards a very busy weekend.
Everything you want for your drive home.
I don't want to think when I'm listening.
Hey, that's the show.
You stupid.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Dude, you guys got an awesome show, man. Y'all keep me laughing every afternoon.
Thank you.
Dukes and Bell, afternoons 2 to 7.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
It's about that time. Yep, spring has sprung. Well, spring has sprung in most places, but not in the north, where some spring games have been canceled. As a matter of fact, before we get into college football, 18 minutes from now, Hugh Douglas, welcome back to The Morning Show, John and Hugh. 18 minutes from now, the Boston Marathon begins in Boston. It's Patriots Day, right?
Seriously?
Yeah. And it's 38 degrees. The real feels 28. It's raining with sleet.
Yeah, good luck with that. It's cold too. It's cold up north.
The real feels 28 degrees, rain and sleet,
and there's going to be a ton of people out there running.
And they're running 26 miles. Yeah. Good luck with that. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, yeah. No. I definitely know what you're saying. That's why sometimes I miss being up north. I miss the cheesesteaks and stuff. But man, I'm not about to deal with that. I can't do that. Too old for that. That's just too much. Like to have to peel snow off your car on a daily. And just the snow part and icy roads, black ice. Nah, I'm good. I'm going to go on here and I'm cool.
Well, certainly I hope it's a much nicer weekend ahead around in Atlanta with both the T-Day and G-Day games upon us. The Tech Spring game will be Friday night at 7 p.m. at Bobby Dodd Stadium. They're going to play under the lights again on Friday night, which is kind of a nice thing, Hugh. I really kind of like how they have kind of made Friday night their own rather than compete against Georgia and others. They just take it and say, we'll play the Friday night game.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty cool, man. I plan on being at T-Day. I want to see how much this offense of Coach Johnson is evolving. Because, there's been a big emphasis on trying to go a little bit more vertical this season. There's been a huge emphasis on that. So just to see how much of that is going to actually translate to, the passing game for Georgia Tech this year.
Well, you're losing Ricky June, which is going to be a big loss because Ricky June was such a dynamic big play receiver for you. But another year and more experience for Taquan Marshall, for Gervonta Benson. Coach Johnson is saying that he's had injuries along the offensive line, but they have five starters back on the offensive line. So they have a veteran team. I have a sneaky feeling. Just call it what it is, Hugh. As we know, Georgia Tech tends to get a little bit longer in the tooth. They've got a new defensive coordinator now. They're going to go to a 3-4 defense. They were pretty close to some breakthrough games. They had a couple of big teams on the ropes last year.
Yeah, they had Miami.
Yeah, Miami, dead to right. Make a play on fourth down, right? Just don't let them catch the ball in the rain and you win.
Yeah, and, switching to that 3-4, you know, that supposedly is supposed to help you put more speed on the field. And maybe that would be the antidote to help them, you know, get over the hump as far as, you know, not losing some of those close games.
A couple updates. The Georgia spring game is Saturday at 4 o'clock at Sanford Stadium. Do know that this year, because of the construction to the west end of the stadium, to the scoreboard end of the stadium, this year Georgia has announced that they're going to be – it's kind of quasi-assigned seating. You're going to get a section. It's not, you know, you have to sit in this particular seat, but you get a section that you have to sit in rather than just –
We got assigned sections. We can't get out there on the field like we did last year? Well, can't do all that?
I don't know. You might be able to because you're Hugh.
I don't know. I would just –
I mean, you just show up and you're Hugh.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. It's kind of like – it's real kind of like structured at T-Day. I just can't run around all willy-nilly.
You know, so I mean, so that'll be interesting. A couple of notes about Georgia. DeAndre Swift continues to deal with a groin injury. Unknown whether he will participate in the spring game. And Zamir White, they say Zamir White, Zeus, looks good. But here's a story, Hugh. It's been a while. This is Dog Nation. It's been a while before White. It'll be a while before White does anything more than just look good, though. He tore his right ACL late last season in high school, spent the spring rehabbing after enrolling early. White is ahead of schedule. And it's becoming time to assume that he will be a factor at some point this season. At some point this season.
I mean, it looks like running back U is going to be in full effect. And DeAndre Swift, I would venture to say, John, with that groin injury, there's no need to have him out there playing. Just get him healthy and get him ready for the season. So he probably won't play for T-Day. I mean, G-Day, excuse me. Sorry about that, Georgia fans.
Yeah,
got him mixed up a little bit. Because I'm excited about being under the lights at Bobby Dodd. So, yeah, a little excited about that.
If you're headed up to G-Day in Athens this year, do know that Stan Norfleet and Mark Owens and I are going to be at Grindhouse Burgers from 9 to 1 in Athens doing a live show. And we want you to come by a Grindhouse before the game, say hi, and talk a little dogs with us as we get ready for G-Day. It'll be 9 to 1 at Grindhouse Burgers in Athens before the G-Day game on Saturday. Some of the updates now, there were a number of spring games that did get played this weekend, notwithstanding Michigan, Iowa State, those that got snowed out, rained out up north. One of them was Florida. And new head coach Dan Mullen, trying to keep things loose, they were sending out, Bo, you're kind of the resident Gator here, sending out photos. They were playing duck, duck, goose in the end zone with some of the players. Do you get a different vibe as a Florida fan with Dan Mullen? I mean, of course you're going to get a different vibe, but do you get a different vibe overall that things are going to be much different, markedly different under him?
Oh, absolutely. He's done a really good job of bringing in the students. You know, one thing that if you don't follow, unless you follow them on Twitter, Mullins is doing a grassroots campaign. I mean, he goes to the fraternities, the sorority houses, you know, getting the students involved. He made a big push to get people at the game, and they had one of the larger crowds this weekend, around 53,000. I mean, it's nothing to write home about after you've seen Georgia have 90 under the first year at Kirby. But he's really trying to make things better. I mean, he brought alumni back. He had Lawrence Wright catch a touchdown, former Gator from the mid-90s. He had Travis McGriff catch one where in the middle of plays, these guys ran on the field on go routes, basically. So he's done a good job with that. And he's trying to make it fun again. He says Florida football needs to be fun again.
Yeah, I think the one thing that you always have to do, especially when you're trying to, I don't want to say resurrect the program, because I think Florida is a good program, but you want to bring back the alumni. You want to have the older guys kind of teach the young guys what it means to be a Gator.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But that everybody does that, because that means a lot. Like, you know, when you go across the country, if you went to whatever school you went to, you still have that school pride. You're proud of your school. And so when they ask you to come back, it's twofold. The kids are excited about it, because a lot of those kids, especially when you went to one of these major colleges, probably grew up watching you, or they probably were a fan of yours. And so to have you come back and mentor them a little bit, that's a huge deal.
As for the game itself, the quarterback battle at Florida, Kyle Trask and Felipe Franks both had nice moments. You get the five-star freshman Emory Jones coming in the fall, and that'll be interesting because Emory Jones is there now. I'm sorry, did I miss that?
Yeah, Emory Jones played. He threw a couple of good strikes.
Okay.
Who eventually
wins this, in your opinion? Emory Jones fits more what Mullen did with Dak Prescott and Nick Fitzgerald, right?
Yeah, but so does Kyle Trask. Trask is a big physical guy. He can run, and he's got a cannon. It's just gonna be pretty good. I don't think Emory Jones is not in the running. I think it's really, but to me, between. I think it's going to come down between Trask and Jones, to be honest with you. But Mullen made the comment that, look, all guys made big plays. and all guys made bad plays. They have some bad reads, some errant throws. So he said that, you know, those guys would make a great read, checking off their first, going their second, make a great throw, and then they would miss their first read and then just throw it, just chunk it down the field. So there's a lot of growth that needs to be made.
All right, as for Clemson, Dabo Swinney says that Kelly Bryant is the incumbent, but he did not have a great spring game for Clemson. Trevor Lawrence outplayed him, so did Hunter Johnson. Trevor Lawrence, the number one rated pro-style quarterback in the nation coming out of Cartersville Hurricane, 11 of 16, 122 yards and a touchdown. And I am of the belief that Trevor Lawrence will at some point, if not early in the season, become the starter at Clemson. And if he's this good, Hugh, if Trevor Lawrence is as advertised, the number one player in the nation, and he becomes a star quarterback at Clemson, even as a freshman, I got to tell you, I'm not really sure how Clemson's going to lose a game. Who's going to score? They have three defensive linemen that came back in Farrell and Lawrence and Wilkins.
They got a good defense.
Who would have all been first-round picks.
They got a really good defense. And, you know, to Coach Sweeney's credit, he said that Kelly Bryant did not lose his job, although he looked real uncomfortable in the spring game. He did not lose his job. I think it's going to be one of those things, kind of like what Coach Saban did. You can't really – you put stock into spring ball, but you shouldn't lose your job in spring ball because it's just one – it's one game, and it's against people that are somewhat familiar with you. You know, you don't push the panic button there, but it's also nice to know that you have some young guys in the back like Trevor Lawrence that are pushing your quarterback and Hunter Johnson. Hunter Johnson was 8 for 14 with 85 yards
right.
With them too and one TD. So
yeah, let's not forget Hunter Johnson was a 5-star guy coming out of high school.
So it's like one of those things where, you know, it's nice to know that like you're my guy, but you best believe I got somebody behind you that if you can't get the job done, he's gonna get a shot.
And Joe Burrow and Dwayne Haskins. Haskins had a nice game against Michigan last year, vying in Ohio State. Pretty even battle there in their spring game. And Urban Meyer is going to have to make a decision as to who his starter may be. He may well go into the season with co-number ones and kind of let Burrow and Haskins play it out a little bit during the year.
That's another team, John, that when you talk about like the quarterback position, the battle at that position is huge, but Ohio State has a good defense. Ohio State has a really good defense.
Nick Bosa.
They got a young defense, man.
Insanely
they got
good.
They reloaded. They reloaded in this offseason. I don't know how much. I know Teron Vincent is going there. Troy Vincent's son. It was a huge get for them at D tackle at IMG. So it's going to be interesting to see whether or not he gets some playing time on the field this year. But they got a really good defense at Ohio State.
Well, again, fascinating stuff with all the spring games leading us to the storylines of the fall. JT Barrett, interesting to note, just kind of thinking, oh, can you replace JT Barrett? Anybody in the NFL talking about JT Barrett as a quarterback?
You know what's funny?
NFL?
I was watching ESPN, and they have something called quarterback to quarterback. Did anybody else see this with Russell Wilson? And I was like, that's pretty interesting because last year around this time, we were all tuned in to Gruden's camp.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Gruden's not there anymore, but to have Russell Wilson doing, I thought that was pretty interesting. But, no, to your point, John, no, nobody's talking about JT Barrett.
When we get back, we venture into that area of the program on a Monday. Do so at your own risk into Hugh's world.
Yes, well, we're going to venture, and we're going to talk about this Dez Bryant thing a little bit more. And like what Daryl likes to call it is homie court. We're going to homie court. All that on the other side of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Do y'all understand that I played football 10 years in the NFL? So when I start talking like I'm talking, it's because I'm still in football mode. So back up off.
I don't understand it, bro.
No, but I'm saying that's what I'm saying. You know, you gotta stay focused, man. That's all I'm saying.
Only from the mind of Hugh Douglas.
Now, John Frick, I know we touched on this story a little bit this morning.
And I just dropped my piece of paper. I know we touched on this story.
Hang on, you dropped his paper.
Hey, wait, everybody. I dropped my paper.
We take 10 seconds for station identification.
Yes. But this Dez Bryant story I thought was a little bit intriguing to me, and I'll tell you why. But first, I need my music for the homie court. Now, first, John, this story starts off. It says Dez Bryant. It says, excuse me, Dak Prescott on Bryant's release. That's not my decision. Dak Prescott said he didn't have anything to do with Dez Bryant's release, lacking the power after only two seasons in the league to influence personnel moves.
I believe that.
The quarterback said, let me finish this. So as much as you want to say, I want to say so, or this is that, those guys get paid a lot more than me, and that's what they get paid to do. That's not my decision. Brian, in an interview, said with James Slade on NFL Media on Friday, after his release, blamed players and coaches. He labeled a Jason Garrett's guys for his departure. He didn't name names, but he insinuated a captain or captains worked against him. Now, Prescott comes out and says that, you know, he talked to Dez at the end of the, when he got cut and everything, and that there was no big deal and everything was cool. But this is where I think, you know, Dak Prescott might be telling a little bit of story, John, because look at the way that this whole Dez Bryant issue was handled. You even go back to the season where I think it was here when they played Atlanta. And, you know, there were a couple times where Dak Prescott was in distress and Dez Bryant was nowhere to be found. And there was a little bit of tay-tay that was said about, you know, Dez Bryant getting the ball and Dak saying, well, when I throw you the ball, you got to catch it or something like that. I don't know if it was the Atlanta game, but it was a game during the season where there was some issues with him and the hookup with the quarterback. Now, the way that the Dallas Cowboys handled this business, it leads me to believe that, yes, Dak Prescott and maybe Jason Witten, because these are the two captains of the team, that they were some talks or speculation about whether or not Dez Bryant should be there. And the reason why I think that is this. Look at how the Dallas Cowboys handled this whole Dez Bryant situation. Normally when you're about to get cut, John Freaking, they give you a little bit of time to try to, you know, find a landing space. You know, give you some time before free agency starts because they know how that whole timeline works where you can have enough time to find you a home because they have that kind of respect for you. That's why I found it kind of ironic when Dez said that Jerry Jones had love for him and that, you know, he didn't want to cut him. Because if he was really doing him a favor, I think that he would have probably cut him a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. Because now you're up against the draft. And a lot of teams are going to be looking at younger players, younger, cheaper players to potentially sign. So I think that the players – I see you got your hand up, John. Let me finish your point.
Your Honor.
But I think that Dak Prescott and those guys did have a hand in a say in whether or not Dez Bryant was going to be a part of the team.
Judge Douglas, speaking, John Rickey, yes. PC LLC Esquire, who's probably a little out of place at Homey Court, representing Dez Bryant, if I may, Your Honor, my client did not receive a 24-karat gold diamond-encrusted chain from the quarterback. Just I want to enter that into evidence that the quarterback is not necessarily on my side and maybe more on the side of a running back that he is besties with. Just saying.
You know what? And that might be the case because we've seen something to this effect that happened a few years ago. A few years ago in the Tony Romo debacle with Terrell Owens, when Terrell Owens went to bat for his quarterback. And then all of a sudden, there was some rift between him and the quarterback. And Terrell Owens felt that Jason Witten and the quarterback had got him cut. But my point is this. I think that Dez Bryant is probably onto something as far as him saying that the guys probably didn't want him there. Because when you look at it, John, he was the outlier as far as the Dallas Cowboys were concerned, especially with the love affair between Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. I think that he was an outlier. And then when you look at that game, that tough game that they had here, when Adrian Claiborne torched him for like 6 sacks that day, Dez Bryant was kind of a no-show. And a lot of the emphasis we thought was going to be the chemistry that he had with Dez in order to keep them in that game. But it didn't happen. And obviously it didn't happen because they didn't have anybody to protect the quarterback's backside. But still, there were some opportunities in that game where Dez Bryant had caught the ball, but he dropped it. And I think part of that was some of the reason why Dez Bryant was let go from the Dallas Cowboys. But I think that he's on to something there, feeling some kind of way about the teammates. And as far as Dak Prescott reaching out to him, he probably just did that for media purposes. But I would venture to say that there was no love lost between these two. And as a matter of fact, I don't even think they probably got along.
Did the Cowboys strike you as being, a team that's got really good individual players in certain spots? Guys like Lawrence and Dak and Zeke and Witten. They've got guys that they've got pretty good, but they have holes all over their team. And it's almost like, you know, one thing you like is you want your team to have an identity. I think they really lack an identity.
They got one. I think they have one with their running back. They're a run the ball team. I mean, and that was obvious last year. And that was brought to my attention. We have an Exhibit A. Please play Exhibit A.
I mean, sad news. That's a brother to me. Put the football stuff behind you. What he meant to me as a person, what he meant to me as a brother, it's tough to see him gone, but shows you, I mean, It's a business. It motivates me, honestly. All it does is it motivates me. It puts all this in perspective.
I don't believe Dak Prescott. I don't. I just think that. Well, you got the follow. That was the follow up to what Dez said. Wait, but you had the follow. Wait a minute. We have some more evidence. Daryl, play the evidence.
He was a great player. He did a lot of great things for us, obviously. And I mean, he was a guy, man to man, you go to. So I mean, we've got to figure that out with the guys we've got, and I'm sure we're going to go after guys in the draft or free agency. Who knows? So all I can do is just continue to get better at my job.
Your Honor, again, if I may, John Fricke, PCL LLC, Esquire, speaking out of place in Homie Court. If you could please issue the Dez Bryant camp moves for a summary judgment from the bench here. Could you give us a verdict, please?
I would say that Dak Prescott is guilty of being a bad teammate. I would say that. I just think there's a lot there. And I think that the quarterback has a lot to say about who's on the team. I don't care what anybody says. I would venture to say, if me and him were cool like this, I could ask Matt Ryan, dude, do you have any say about who the receivers you want to get on the team? Probably not so much that, but if somebody's being cut, then they're going to run it past you first. And how do you feel about this? And again, the way that this whole situation was handled, they had put him in they revered Dez Bryant the way that they revere Emmitt, Michael Irvin, guys like that. They even compared him to them. You know, as far as what they meant to the Dallas Cowboys, not the career, but what they meant to the Dallas Cowboys, and for him to be escorted out the building like this unceremoniously, I think that, yes, Dak Prescott has.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, is there going to be a problem in Big D? Because Dez Bryant was tremendously popular, and so much so that I was at Allen Hurns who said, I'm not wearing 88. There's no way you're going to get me to wear 88. Not going to do it. And so I wonder if there's a problem with Dak Prescott. Just I'm asking. I'm wondering if there's an issue.
I think that Dez, in his first few years in Dallas, his play outweighed his drama. By some of the things that he said, Dez has said some real controversial things in his career. But I think that with the climate of his play, along with his mouth, that was just too much for the Dallas Cowboys, and they had to move on from it. And shout out to Beyonce and her performance at Coachella. That's why Daryl's playing that, because I forgot to mention that. Because I know you probably didn't see it, John Fricke.
No.
But Beyonce put on a probate show at Coachella this week, and she had like 300 people on stage. And it was bananas. Bananas.
Coachella would be a fun time. I've always wanted to go to Coachella. It would be a fun time. Yeah, you know, maybe those days have passed me, but it still would be fun. Well, the Braves made a lot of news. They're back home tonight. We'll talk a little Braves. Mike Connie in the next hour live as well. Next, as we continue on this Monday, John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.